This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Thursday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Toyota Copel.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
We're going to begin this morning with a massive winter storm that's making its way across the country. We're talking about snow, rain, sleet, and the worst part, I think, is that brutally cold temperatures. It's going to be cold with more than 100 million Americans under winter weather alerts. That is not fun. More than 6,000 flights have already been canceled. In Texas, a heavy ice is already starting to form. And last year, a winter storm there, you remember this, caused a power crisis that lasted weeks. This storm is now making its way east, causing even more problems. Oh, no. Chris Van Cleve is in Dallas with more on the story. Chris, there's nothing about this story that sounds pleasant. Good morning to you.
Well, Gail, I can confirm there is nothing pleasant about being out here right now. With the wind, it feels about 15 degrees. That's not rain falling on me. That's chunks of ice and sleet. Take a look at the roads behind us. You can see a few people out here. That coating, that's not snow. That is ice. We know of at least one fatal accident on Texas freeways overnight. Several of the Dallas area freeways have partial closures because of crashes. And, of course, the big thing everyone is worrying about here is, will the power stay on? The Public Utility Commission says it will, but this is essentially an ice storm, and already tens of thousands are waking up in the dark and the cold.
Ice dangling from power lines, draping gas pumps, and coating highways. Frigid reminders of the damage freezing temperatures caused last year across Texas, prompting a rush to get ready.
It's as busy as ever, as I've ever seen it. It's people carrying out cases upon cases of water.
North of here, the brutal winter storm is pummeling the Midwest, sending out snow plows in full force. Parts of Illinois and Indiana are expecting the most snow, up to 18 inches by tonight.
I am not quite prepared today, but, you know, you layer up and you brave it and you do what you can and hope for the summer.
Interstate 74 in Peoria was complete chaos as cars and big rigs tried to navigate the heavy snow. And across Texas, plummeting temperatures and icy conditions, major concerns for millions who weathered the deadly blackouts last winter.
Gas went out, and we had heat, only heat in some places. We had all sorts of problems last year.
On Tuesday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said no one can guarantee there won't be any power outages during the storm, despite his past promise the lights would stay on this year.
We are ready. We're very ready.
Brad Jones is the interim CEO of Texas's power grid operator, ERCOT. He says the grid is more reliable than ever.
The stuff that we've done for the past year, whether it's weatherizing our fleet or the way we operate our grid, it really has put us in a solid position.
Their biggest test is yet to come. This is what's coating the roads. It's not snow. It's really chunks of ice, frozen sleet. Now, we know schools are closed. Most of the flights at Dallas Love Field canceled today. Hundreds more at DFW canceled. The driving is truly white-knuckle driving. And the biggest test for power, I said, is yet to come. That's because they expect perhaps record demand for electricity tomorrow morning when the wind chill will make it feel as cold as -6. Tony.
Chris, you can confirm it's extremely unpleasant there. I've got good news for you. Go get warm. We're going to get more information from John Elliott at our local CBS station. Chris, thank you very much. We appreciate it. John, meteorologist at CBS TV here in New York. What are we looking at?
I got to tell you, this is just heartbreaking. You know, and sleet is superior terrain. Think of the column of air you live in. If it's cold top to bottom, that's going to fall as snow. If it turns cold here, it's sleet. better traction. If it turns cold there, it's freezing rain. That is a nightmare. So we're mindful of all of these things. Once again, just to capture the scope of this storm, from Texas to Maine, from Dallas to Portland, and everybody in between, look at these advisories right there in lockstep with the storm. And that is a freezing rain or a freezing rain advisory that stretches down into Mississippi. Timestamp on right there. Let's put the computers to work and show you. Watch this line. The ice moves, and then watch this line. Risk of isolated severe thunderstorms. We could even see a few tornadoes with the accumulating snow in the cold sector. See, that's what I'm talking about. D.C., Baltimore, Philly, New York may be spared the worst of the freezing rain. But again, our neighbors north and west, you're looking at additional snow, a lot of additional snow as we continue to pile it on. And then let's talk about ice accumulation and show you. Oy, 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 from San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Memphis, Nashville, right there, up into Kentucky, cannot get a break. And then this is what Gail was talking about, the cold that's going to follow. I mean, you're going to see wind chills, 5, 10, 15, 20, 40 degrees below zero in the northern plains. And if they lose power, again, that is just going to be just brutal for these folks dealing with cleaning up and having to stay warm.
I think you said it best. I, you know, Nate and Tony have very good sock game, but I think you win today. But John Tower tells me we have no time, so we cannot discuss.
It's World Optimist Day, so wear bright colors.
Yes, there you go. Hey, I got, I got the memo. This is as bright as I could do. Thank you, John Elliott. Now to the standoff over Ukraine. About 3,000 U.S. troops, they are moving into new positions in Europe to support NATO forces. Newly released satellite photos show more of the Russian troop buildup along Ukraine's borders. The military units guarding those borders are outgunned, and they are outnumbered, too, by Russia. Holly Williams visited the Ukrainian patrols that would be the first to respond to any Russian invasion.
Ukraine's border with Russia is quiet. For now. We saw a snowplow, but no war machines.
You've built this as a kind of defensive position if someone tries to invade.
The Ukrainian border guards told us they're ready, though, if there's an attack.
The Ukrainian soldiers say the closest Russian troops to this section of the border are about 60 miles away.
On the other side of the frontier are roughly 100,000 Russian troops. New satellite images reportedly show them closer to battle readiness.
It certainly has all the image of an army ready to go.
Justin Bronk is an expert on the Russian military.
If they chose a maximalist campaign, they could pretty much destroy the Ukrainian army as a viable fighting force.
For over a decade, Russia's military has been on a high-speed modernization drive. Its new weaponry shown off at military parades and tested in Syria, where Russia's been accused of war crimes by the United Nations. A stronger military's allowed Russia to reassert itself as a world power. Now, experts say it's being used to threaten Ukraine, an attempt to force the country away from the US and NATO and back under Moscow's control. Back on the Ukrainian side of the border, Major Mykola Ferrin told us they have what they need to defend their territory. The reality, according to the US, is that an invasion would be horrific.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin will be in Beijing tomorrow for the Olympics opening ceremony and to meet with China's leader Xi Jinping. China's support could be crucial for Putin if Russia invades Ukraine and is then hit with economic sanctions by the U.S. and its allies. Nate.
Holly Williams in Ukraine, thank you. There is breaking news overnight in Syria where U.S. Special Operations Forces carried out a counterterrorism raid. The Pentagon says it was successful with no U.S. casualties. Rescue workers in Syria say at least 13 people died, including 6 children and 4 women. David Martin has more from the Pentagon.
Crumbling concrete and rubble is evidence of the deadly U.S. Special Operations raid carried out overnight in Syria. It happened in the town of Atma, not far from the Turkish border, an area of northwest Syria known as a hotbed for terrorist organizations. Reports from residents on the ground say the raid lasted 2 hours and involved helicopters, explosives, and machine gun fire. In a statement, the Pentagon said the mission was successful, which should mean the target was killed or captured. There were no U.S. casualties, but a defense official said one helicopter broke down and had to be destroyed and left behind. According to residents and activists, U.S. troops used loudspeakers urging women and children to leave the area. There was at least one explosion. It was the largest U.S. raid in Syria since the 2019 operation that killed Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who blew himself up rather than be captured. The Pentagon has not yet identified the target of this raid, although it comes just days after the Islamic State staged a major attack on a prison camp which holds some 3,000 of its members. For CBS Mornings, David Martin.
President Biden travels to New York City today to meet with the mayor, Eric Adams. Amid a spike in violent crime, thousands of NYPD officers and employees filled the streets Wednesday for the funeral of Officer Wilbert Mora. He and his partner were both shot and killed last month while responding to a call. Nationwide, that makes five officers killed by gunfire this year and 30 wounded. And that's on pace for a very sharp increase from just 2 years ago. Jeff Begay shows us that dangerous guns are easier than ever for the criminals to get their hands on.
At this ATF firing range in Virginia, we watched as a legal semi-automatic handgun was converted into an illegal machine gun in a matter of seconds, capable of firing off more than 30 rounds almost instantaneously.
Today, you can manufacture that little conversion device on your kitchen table in a 3D printer.
ATF Acting Director Marvin Richardson says technology is partially to blame for the recent rise in gun-related crime.
Technology has allowed us to be able to take a firearm and reduce it to a box of parts that isn't necessarily covered by the federal firearms laws. You've got different platforms that allow you to order it from the privacy of your home, have it delivered to your front door. It's almost a perfect storm.
So how does the ATF counter that?
Remember, the Gun Control Act 1968 is 54 years old. The National Firearms Act of 1934 is 88 years old. So those...
So you're saying the laws on the books are outdated?
No, I think that the actual dates of the statute's enactments would say that.
Increasingly, the ATF says these modified weapons, along with homemade so-called ghost guns, are leaving law enforcement outgunned.
How many guns do you have in here?
About 15,000.
Acting Deputy Director Thomas Chittum showed us the reference library ATF uses for its investigations. But guns assembled, built, or modified at home are almost impossible to track.
We haven't seen so many machine guns used in crimes since Prohibition.
Is that right?
That is right. Your average law enforcement officer is not armed with a machine gun. Increasingly, criminals are.
With just over 2,500 special agents and a budget that has remained relatively flat in recent years, Richardson has this message.
We really have to work together. Communities, law enforcement, our elected officials, everyone has to work together to become a part of the solution to this problem.
Just this morning, the Justice Department launched a new initiative making it a priority for prosecutors to bring federal charges against suspects who use ghost guns. And during our taping and after, frankly, I was asked numerous times if firing a ghost gun feels any different than firing a manufactured gun. And to me, it didn't. But what really surprised me was how easy that conversion device turns a ghost gun into a machine gun.
It's very, very eye-opening, Jeff, and it'll be an open question whether Congress acts, particularly since so many law enforcement are at the wrong end of those ghost guns when they get out and they're in the public. Thank you very much. All right, moving on now. CNN faces big changes this morning, a day after its president, Jeff Zucker, announced he's resigning. Zucker says he broke company policy by failing to disclose a consensual relationship with a longtime colleague, one of his top aides at the company's highest level. As our national correspondent, Jerika Duncan, shows us, the issue came up during the investigation of former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo.
This is how CNN made the bombshell announcement.
We have news now to report involving our network. CNN President Jeff Zucker has just resigned after disclosing a consensual relationship with a colleague.
Jeff Zucker admitted to violating CNN company policy Wednesday by not disclosing a consensual relationship with fellow CNN executive Allison Gullist. Gullist is CNN vice president and the network's chief marketing officer. In a statement, Zucker acknowledged the relationship, saying, "I was required to disclose it when it began, but I didn't. I was wrong." He referred to Gullist as his closest colleague and said the pair worked together for more than 20 years.
It should have been disclosed.
Attorney Jean Christensen specializes in employment discrimination.
Many people will hear this and go, okay, two consenting adults, they're both in high-level management positions. What's the big deal?
The big deal is that, not that they're two consenting adults, it's that CNN has a policy that you're supposed to disclose the fact that you are in such a relationship.
Zucker's departure from CNN comes 2 months after he fired anchor Chris Cuomo. Cuomo was fired for advising his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, on how to handle sexual misconduct allegations. Zucker was asked about his relationship with Gullist as part of CNN's Chris Cuomo investigation.
This is a domino effect that begins with Andrew Cuomo going down the governor's office and then Chris Cuomo being fired from CNN and then Jeff Zucker losing his job at CNN.
In a statement, Gullis acknowledged the consensual relationship and said she regretted not disclosing it at the right time. She says she will remain at CNN for now. Now, Christensen told me it is highly unlikely two people at top positions or in the same department could ever stay on, even after they disclose a consensual relationship, which, you know, this is part of the problem, but also why people keep it a secret.
Yeah. I mean, workplaces used to be the number one place to meet somebody.
Yeah. Right.
Times have changed.
Not anymore. Enrico.
Yeah, I'm still confused if they're both consenting adults, but we're moving on. Hashtag hot mess.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All right. Yes.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.